to read through and study this wonderful letter from the early church. And even though it's short, it's going to take us probably from now, with a little break for Christmas, it's going to take us into 2021, which of course we all hope is going to be a better year than 2020 has been, right? Do I hear amen? Well, let's read together 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Listen for God's word to you. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. May God add His blessing to the reading and the preaching of the Scriptures. So in these opening four verses of 1 John, the author tells us, I think, three important things. Something about his purpose, something about himself, and something about Jesus. I want to look first at what John tells us about his purpose in writing. First of all, he tells us it is his desire for his readers to have fellowship with them. That's kind of interesting. It immediately indicates to us that he's part of a group. The we and the us in the opening of this letter probably refers to the group of disciples gathered around John the Evangelist in Ephesus. John's desire is that his readers would have fellowship with them, and he states that their fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, anybody who's been a Christian for any period of time probably knows that word fellowship is an important one. I know often in the church today we think of fellowship as just that coffee thing we do after church. You know, and I know you haven't been doing it here, like many churches around the world haven't been doing that like they're used to doing it. But fellowship is really something more than that. The word in Greek, as you may know, is koinonia. And it means sharing in common. And what we share in common as Christians is a personal relationship with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. So John's purpose in writing this letter, or really this letter is actually in some ways more like a little sermon or a meditation. His purpose is to draw the readers closer to each other and closer to God. And shouldn't that be our purpose in life as well? Do our words and do our actions draw others closer to one another? Or are we dividers in chief? And do we draw people by our words and actions closer to God? So that's the first thing. Secondly, John says his purpose is to bring his readers joy. We write this to make our joy complete. Joy is at the heart of Christianity. Paul tells us joy is an essential part of the fruit of the Spirit. And if the effect of our words and actions is to depress others, to bring them down, then we really need to ask whether our words and actions are truly Christian. Our purpose should be to lift other people up. We were having dinner just the other night with a couple from our former church. And I was so honored, I was so encouraged when our friend Margie said to me, you know, over the last 5 years, Will, you've lifted us up. That's what I want to do. That's my whole goal as a person and as a pastor is to lift other people up. Imagine if every one of us made that our goal every day in life. Thirdly, John says it's his aim to set Jesus Christ before his readers. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. I wonder, what do others see and hear in us? Is it Jesus Christ or something less? Of course, we will never be completely like Jesus in this life. But it should become our goal to be more like him by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that our very lives proclaim him. Is that our purpose? Is it our purpose to bring joy to others, to lift them up rather than tearing them down? Viktor Frankl, one of my favorite writers, a great influence in my life, a man who lived through the Holocaust. He always liked to quote Friedrich Nietzsche, who said, "He who has a why to live for can bear almost any how." Do we have a why to live for? I like the way the Westminster Shorter Catechism puts this. What is the chief end of man? And I'll give you a hint, it's not his feet. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I especially like the second part. Enjoying. Glorifying and enjoying God. That's something we can pursue for our whole life, even though we will never achieve it perfectly. We'll always have more to do. John says that he has heard that which was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. What is it that he heard? You know, the prophets in the Hebrew Scriptures were always ones who had a word from the Lord. And I think that's why people come to church. I know we have fewer people coming to church than we did before this pandemic. But you know, a lot of people who don't come to church watch church online anyway. You know, this pandemic has just revealed that. Do you know, I read a statistic the other day. You know, 29% of the people who used to come to church but aren't coming to church right now during the pandemic, they're watching church online and they're watching some other church besides their home church. Isn't that interesting? And then something over 50% are watching both their church and another church. I was watching church from Holy Trinity Brompton in London last Sunday, and I received a great lift. It doesn't matter whether you're here in person or you're watching online or how it happens. But I think we come to hear a word from the Lord. And that's what John had, a word from the Lord. Secondly, he says, he has seen that which was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. The story is told about the great Scottish preacher, Alexander White, that someone once said to him, "You preach today as if you came straight from the presence." And he said, "Well, maybe I have." We do not see Jesus Christ in the body today as the first disciples did, but we can see Jesus through the eyes of faith. Paul says we walk by faith, not by sight. There was a pulpit in North Carolina I've preached from many a time. And facing the preacher as he steps into the pulpit are these words, "Sir, we would see Jesus." What a great reminder. Thirdly, John tells us he has gazed upon that which was from the beginning. Have you ever thought about that? What's the difference between seeing and gazing? In Greek, the word that's used for seeing is haran. It simply means to see with our physical eyes. So on the other hand, the word that's used for gazed or looked at, theestai, it means to gaze at someone or something until you grasp the significance of that person or thing. 1 John here is echoing the prologue of John's Gospel, where the evangelist says about Jesus, "We beheld His glory." Same verb is used there. The author of 1 John, like the author of the Gospel, has thought long and hard about who Jesus was and is, trying to understand something of the mystery of the incarnation, of God becoming human flesh. I love what Karl Barth once said, the great theologian of the 20th century. He said, "The Word became flesh, and then theologians made it words again." There's something about Jesus in the flesh that we need to gaze upon and meditate upon. Fourth, John says that He has touched that which was from the beginning. Not many people can say that. I think he's doing two things here. He's recalling how the disciple whom Jesus loved reclined on Jesus' breast or bosom at the Last Supper. And secondly, he's responding throughout this letter, this meditation, to a group of people who existed around him at this time that were called the Docetists. Now, I realize you may never have heard of that group. Docetists comes from the Greek word dokeo, which means to seem. The Docetists maintained that Jesus only seemed to have a human body. They believed that if Jesus was really divine, then he would not dirty himself by having a human body. And John's response to this is strong and categorical throughout this letter. He insists that Jesus did indeed have a human body, and that Jesus' disciples touched that body. They touched it also after the resurrection. You know that wonderful scene at the end of the Gospel of John, when Mary Magdalene is at the tomb and she meets Jesus? You know what Jesus says to her? "Stop touching me, because I haven't yet ascended to the Father." Now, what I find significant about that, I know there's some mystery as to, okay, why does Jesus say this? But the significant thing to me is that means she was touching him. He was risen in a body. John says, "We touched that which was from the beginning." So drawing this all together, what John tells us about himself, we can summarize it by saying that he had a real and true experience of the Word of Life that appeared in Jesus of Nazareth. Now, I don't know how many of you remember the movie Jurassic Park. But there's this moment in that movie when world-class paleontologist Alan Grant, who has devoted his life to the study of dinosaurs, suddenly comes face-to-face with one of these creatures living. You know, it's one thing to read about and talk about dinosaurs, but it'd be another thing altogether to meet one. And a lot of people read about God, they read about Jesus, they think about God, they think about Jesus, but to actually meet Him, that's a whole nother thing. We may not be able to see Jesus now with our physical eyes or to touch Him with our hands, but we too can nonetheless have a true experience of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. And this leads to the final point that John makes here. He tells us something important about Jesus. First of all, he says he was from the beginning. Again, he's echoing the gospel where it says, in the beginning was the Word. The author of 1 John emphasizes the divinity of Jesus. And yet in the same breath, he emphasizes Jesus' humanity as well. Jesus has this human body that can be seen and touched, and his human voice could be heard. And thirdly, John tells us that by God taking on human flesh in Jesus of Nazareth, he has thereby brought to us and the world the Word of life that can impart to us the life of the ages. Again, he's echoing the gospel, where it talks about Jesus being the Word, the Logos, which in Greek means the reasoning power behind the universe. What an amazing statement. That the reasoning power that created the far-flung galaxies 2,000 years ago became flesh. And we call him Jesus of Nazareth. It's a Word of life that's been imparted to us through him. It's an interesting phrase. It's used only one other time in the New Testament, and that by Paul, where Paul says in Philippians, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out a Word of life." Can you imagine that? That is our privilege, to hold out a Word of life to this community, to every person we meet, to Cape Cod, to wherever God takes us around the world. We have the privilege of holding out a Word of life that can save people for all eternity. And how much we need that Word of life today. Maybe more than ever before. Let me close with this. Psychologist Madeline Levine has been counseling teenagers for over 25 years. But relatively recently, she began to see a new breed of unhappy teenagers. Smart, successful, privileged kids who feel utterly lost and empty. For Levine, one client in particular typified this kind of unhappy teenager. Late on a Friday afternoon, the last appointment of her week, Levine saw a 15-year-old girl who, she said, was bright, personable, highly pressured by her adoring but frequently preoccupied parents. And she said she was also very angry. Levine quickly recognized the girl's cutter disguise. A long-sleeved t-shirt pulled halfway over her hand with an opening torn in the cuff for her thumb. Such t-shirts are used to hide self-mutilating behaviors, cutting with sharp instruments, piercing with safety pins, or burning with matches. And when the young girl pulled back her sleeve, Levine was startled to find that the girl had used a razor to carve a word into her forearm. And the word was empty. Levine said, "I tried to imagine how intensely unhappy my young patient must have felt to cut her distress into her flesh. The most common thing I hear in my office from the kids is, 'I'm fake.' The surface of their family life always looks good. The lawns are always perfectly manicured. The houses always look beautiful. But when you get to what's going on beneath these kids' t-shirts, there's not much happening inside." And I share that to say, that's where our world is at today. And it's perhaps revealed more in our young people than anybody else because they don't hide it as well as us oldsters do. We've learned how to hide the emptiness. But young people often don't. And that's why they are our greatest opportunity. If you and I together, if we would reach out and hold out a word of life to the young people of this community and show them that it's real, that there is a love that is real and everlasting. We won't have enough seats in this building to hold the people that will come to get in on the love. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your tremendous love for us that ultimately is the only thing that really matters when we come right down to it. Because if we experience your love, then we will know life in all of its fullness. And we want that, Lord. Each one of us here today want that. Help us to open our hearts right now afresh to you. Help us to give as much as we know of ourselves to as much as we know of you, Lord Jesus. And as we do that, we ask you to come in and live within us and through us, to hold out your word of life and of love to everyone who needs it in this community. And we ask it in your name and for your sake. Amen.